All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome inside Gold in Bold, your voice of Laurier Sports. If you're listening live, it's kind of an Easter egg. It's kind of a quick run through of how the sports show is going to work. I'm sports manager Ian Bailey, so I'm just going to run this through. So thank you for listening in. If you're hanging on in here, we'll call it episode zero, maybe, of the sports show. We're going to try out some different features here, too. So I apologize if there's any, weird audio changes or awkward silences. Hang in here with me. But yeah, this is Golden Bolt. So how this will work, this is, again, episode zero for this school year. We'll cover some Laurier sports. We'll cover some professional sports. We'll get into some general sports discussion. This is the sports show after all. And yeah, it'll be a quick episode. Today, it's just me in studio. Typically, we'll have, multiple hosts and some banter and discussion and all that jazz. But I figured I should probably get used to how this works before I, tell everyone else how it works. Figure that's a smart idea. So welcome again inside Bold and Gold. Good afternoon. I'm Ian Bailey, live from the Radio Laurier studio. So for Laurier Sports, we'll dive right in there. Of course, the only major sport really going on, our flagship football program is going on, of course, tomorrow. It's the big homecoming game, of course, home game at the University Stadium just down the road from campus. I'm pretty sure they're all sold out by now, of course. That's a huge game, so I hope you guys all got your tickets already because they went fast. And it's 1 p.m. tomorrow, Saturday. Of course, OUA TV, of course, will carry that too. So tune in because it'll be a great game. Of course, the men's football team also a great game because they're ranked number one, not just Ontario, but nationally ranked number one in youth sports. They're 3-0 so far to start the regular season, their home opener. A couple weeks ago against Guelph Griffins, that was a 33-24 victory. And then the next week, they followed up with a 43-28 victory versus the Western Mustangs. And last week, the Battle of Waterloo, it was a 39-23 victory at Waterloo. So coming out strong, our University Avenue rivals. Tomorrow, of course, they're against the Ottawa Gigis, 1 p.m. at the University Stadium. That's a big homecoming game, of course. Big homecoming weekend, which is always an interesting and fun experience around campus and the assorted streets nearby. Of course, football athletes of the week for this past week was receiver Ethan Jordan on the offense side, Matthew LaQuintana on the defensive line, and Tayshawn Jackson on special teams. Of course, the running back completed an 89-yard rush last week in the Battle of Waterloo, helping the Laurier Golden Hawks to that victory last week. Other sports news across campus, of course, the softball team, which doesn't get a lot of attention. They're 11-1 so far this season, which is wild. There's a 19-1 victory sprinkled in there, too. And they're a strong team. Of course, men's lacrosse. I'm a big lacrosse guy, so I keep up with the lacrosse team here. Men's lacrosse is 1-2. Not the strongest start they had hoped for, but they play tomorrow as part of homecoming festivities. They play tomorrow at the alumni field, so that's the field on campus. They play tomorrow. It's at 1:30, so if you couldn't get tickets to the 1 p.m. football game, might as well go support the boys on the pitch with men's lacrosse playing at 1:30 also tomorrow. The women's basketball team, they start their preseason next week. The men's basketball team's preseason's already started. Of course, they're 1-0, and they play a preseason game again tonight at the Athletic Complex Gym at 8 p.m. The men's hockey, both our women's and men's hockey teams aren't doing so hot in the preseason. Of course, as with most sports discussion, everyone, it's preseason. You don't want to put too much weight into it. But I think there's value in preseason. If you lose all the games, all the fans are all like, oh, it doesn't matter. If you win all the games, all the fans are like, oh, it matters, right? But speaking of men's and women's hockey, combined, they're 0-9. In the preseason. The men's hockey team's 0-5. The women's hockey team's 0-4 in the preseason, of course. Both teams haven't scored more than one goal in a game during this preseason. So it's not a cause to worry. Both teams were playoff teams last year. Men's hockey actually advanced past the first round. But of course, only scoring one goal in each of your games, at least, or at maximum, only one goal in each of your games. It's not a sign to worry, but it is a sign of passive concern, and hopefully they're just getting the kinks out before the regular season starts. Of course, men's hockey, Home opener is next week versus the Western Mustangs. That's October 4th down at the Sun Life Financial Arena in the Water Memorial Recreational Complex. Beautiful venue there. And a women's hockey home opener is the next week after that. So not October 4th, but October 11th. And they're against the Windsor Lancers. And both hockey teams, of course, last year, it was an honor to watch and commentate and cover them as part of the sports team here. So I expect a great season from both those. The basketball teams both as well last year exceeded expectations. We're hoping for more of that this year. And, of course, the men's football team, the Laurier football program, of course, has been known to be very strong. And they're continuing that trend this year. Again, number one nationally ranked U sports team, the Wilfrid Laurier Golden Hawks in men's football. Turning it on to more in local sports, but above campus sports, the Kitchener Rangers, of course, the Tri-Cities OHL team. Their home opener is tonight at 7 p.m. It's their first game of the season, and they're against the Erie Otters. They had a fairly strong preseason from the games I watched. And yeah, it's Kitchener Rangers play tonight, home opener. So if you're looking for some hockey action, make sure to get some tickets and go see them at the Odd down in Kitchener. 7 p.m. It's first game of the season, again, against the Erie Otters. Some OHL action for you tonight. You can catch that, of course, on Rogers TV and a local cable and radio stations here in the Waterloo region. The NFL bumping it up to the National Football League. The Buffalo Bills, of course, 3-0. They top the AFC East. The Chiefs, 3-0. They top the AFC West. Steelers find themselves at 3-0 atop the AFC North. And rounding out the AFC and the AFC South is the Texans at 2-1. Where am I here? Oh, yeah, yeah, I was looking at it. It's the Titans and Jaguars, both on the AFC South. It's a weaker division. Titans and Jaguars, both bottom of the AFC South, 0-3 records. Moving over to the NFC, it's the Commanders and Eagles, both tied for the league at the NFC East division, both 2-1. Seahawks, my personal NFL team, so I'm happy here. They're top of the NFC West. They're undefeated. They're 3-0 too. A lot of teams are kind of getting 3-0 as the early season gets underway, but you will start to see the records expand and branch out and more, you know, not just all 3-0 and undefeated teams. NFC North is being led by the Minnesota Vikings. They're also 3-0. And the Saints and the Buccaneers top the NFC South, both 2-1. Now, touching on to the NHL preseason. Of course, NHL is still starting. It's starting next week. There's a couple games in Europe that are starting a bit earlier than the mainland, the continental games. I think the continental games, the regular preseason games in America and Canada, they're starting, I think, October the 8th. And there's some European games. Still part of the regular season. Still count for your 82-game regular season and points in that playoff chase. And they're starting the October 4th. So it's always interesting to see some games start before the others. And it's always nice to like clue into these European games or these foreign games, not just NHL, but also, you know, I know NFL runs some international games. I know MLB runs some international games. All these are more preseason games or exhibition games, more showman games. It's always interesting to tune into these. Because, you know, the players, they play a bit differently. It's a different environment. It's nice to see them try to put on a show for, you know, a foreign crowd. As well as you get to see all the foreign, you know, European or you know, sometimes they're in Asia. Sometimes I think there's an Australian hockey games a couple seasons back. They're always interesting to see those, like, local venues and, you know, the Melbourne Arena or, you know, the Swedish hockey stadium and all these different really interesting venues that have a different feel and a different aura about them than the American counterparts, which are, you know, and Canadian too, which, you know, kind of each arena is kind of different. You know, they have different like color schemes and styles, but a lot of them feel very corporate and mass produced and borderline, you know, inauthentic to an extent. So it's nice to see these more smaller venues get broadcast on TV and radio and get a more of an international stage from these American sports leagues. And you can see all these really cool European small towns and camera pans, see their scenery. and all, you know, cool venues, and you get to see all the really rabid fans. You know, fans in Europe are always, I guess it's football or the soccer, you know, culture. But they always seem so much more exciting. They always see there's way so much more into it than these, you know, lousy, you know. I mean, American football fans are insane. NFL fans, you should see them. But, you know, some, I don't know, American and Canadian crowds are a bit lethargic occasionally compared to these rabid and insane, you know, super fans of Europe. But again, back to NHL preseason, of course. You know, we're in Ontario and we're close to Toronto, so it seems like everyone, all the sports outlets, always talk about Toronto Maple Leafs. But it's a local team in Ontario. They have more fans. They've been around longer. They're more historical. I think they're the most valuable sports franchise in the NHL, so it makes sense to talk about them. That's where, you know, they probably have the most fans. But it can be annoying. But there is a bit of a moment last night in just preseason action. It's garnered a lot of social media attention. Last night, it was a preseason game between the Maple Leafs and the Montreal Canadiens. And there's a bit of a moment between two Leafs players, Nick Robertson, Nicky Bobby, and William Nylander. Of course, William Nylander just inked that massive contract last season. And Nick Robertson, who has been having contract conflicts over the summer, as you know, he's at an age where you want to, you know, these young athletes, the early 20s, who want to have more of a role on the team. And the team doesn't really agree with that, or they have, you know, they're too top heavy and don't really have a place for them. So the younger player wants perhaps a change of scenery. It's one of those conflicts, but Nick Robertson did stay on the Leafs. He did sign a contract for one more year, kind of a make it or break it, a prove it contract. And so he's on the team, but he's still fighting for that, you know, those top player minutes he feels, and he is a good player for those top 6 minutes, the top two lines in hockey. He wants those top minutes. So he's, you know, in the preseason, he wants to, you know, showcase what he's got. And in showcasing what he's got, he pushed his own player, William Nylander, directly into the knee of a Montreal player. Of course, we're on radio, we can't show that clip, but Nick Kyprios, of course, courtesy of Sportsnet, had a take on it, and I'll play it for you guys, and we can discuss it. But essentially, what happened was William Nylander's back-checking, skating back into his zone. Nick Robertson, his teammate, uses his stick to push him, to kind of give him a boost. And Nick and William Nylander, not expecting this push from behind, falls down, because Nick Robertson just pushed him over with his blade of his stick. You know, he's, oh, be faster, I'll give you a boost. And William Nylander, because of this boost, falls down headfirst into a perpendicular Montreal Canadiens player who is skating by, and William Nylander's head goes right into his knee. He was taken out of the game. We don't know. There'll be an update on him today. But he was injured enough to take him out of the game, and he did not return to the game. So Nick Robertson, his teammate, essentially pushes Nylander over with his stick into a Montreal Canadiens knee, to which William Nylander's head collides with. This is what Nick Kyprios of Sportsnet, he was an analyst for last night's preseason games, this is what he had to say.
Matt, but like, nothing tells me more that I'm either too slow or I'm not willing to work hard enough to put my head down and get back in the zone. But here, I'm going to help you now push up. Like, this is just so unnecessary.
So you heard what he said, I hope. I don't know if that worked or not. So trying out different computer audio clips here. But he essentially said it shows that Robertson was lazy and that he did not want enough effort for himself to backcheck, but in case... gave the boost to Nylander because he was lazy and lethargic in getting back. Now, people online, of course, have had many different takes on this, and Nick Kyprios is one of those analysts that people are very 50-50 about, you know, especially in all sports too, football, baseball, basketball especially, when those analysts have a lot more character. A lot of people either really love them, really hate them. Kyprios is one of the more controversial analysts. I generally like him. I think he has good takes. I think his take here, of his opinion on It was Nick Robertson being lazy. I think that's a valid take, and I also think that his, you know, thing of you're supposed to be fighting for a top roster spot, and in the preseason you can't even bother to, you know, hustle a bit more and instead try to get one of your players to, you know, use them because you don't want to cover that space yourself. I think that's valid. And, you know, Nylander maybe wasn't hustling as much as Robertson wanted him to. Nylander also, great goal scorer, not the best back checker. That's my Nylander hot take. He's somewhat lazy in the defensive zone, and he's not great offensively, not the greatest defensively. That's my opinion on Nylander. But if you go online, you know, there's especially in X, the Everything app, comments, there's always some interesting takes. A lot of people saying it's a ridiculous take, it was a bad result, but we see this play happen all the time, and players are even commended for it, of course, because getting a boost with the stick in the back as you're back checking, we have seen that before. It's not seldom, it's not like a grand occasion, so we have seen that before. So, of course, this user calling it a ridiculous take. Someone says it's coming from a guy who jumps on a goalie's leg in a playoff game. Of course, that infamous Nick Kypreos moment. What other responses do we have here? Horrible take, Kypreos. This is a pretty common play. Nylander toe picks and trips. Bad luck all around. Oh, Nick Kypreos. Had it worked, he would have been commended for helping. Problem is, Nylander doesn't back check. So all for naught, like pushing dead weight. That is a strong take. However, there is value in that take. Now, I agree with Nick Kypreos saying that it was a dumb play. In that, you know, it didn't need to happen, and it shows more Robertson's lack of hustle. But this user who says he would have been commended for helping. The problem is Nylander doesn't back check. He is dead weight. Nylander, of course, is a you know, premier athlete. I'm gonna call him dead weight, but he is, like I was mentioning earlier. Let's look at that. He is a somewhat of a defensive, you know, non-effort giver. His back checks could be better. However, it is preseason, so maybe. But during regular season, also, it's been noted that Nylander does not back check as strongly as his peers. So, you know, it being preseason isn't much of an excuse when he does that during the regular season. Another user says, Farmer Vincent says, trade Robertson before he can maim more of our players. That was friendly fire right there. Maybe he wants Nylander's roster spot. Maybe he will get it. Yeah, okay, I'm trying to look for more takes online, but those are about all of it. But yeah, no, that was a fun moment last night. Hopefully, of course, Nylander's A-okay. Of course, that's a head injury. You don't want to, you know, treat those lightly. However, Nick Robertson taking out his teammates one by one so he can finally get that first line spot is an interesting storyline to follow as the Maple Leafs progress into the regular season. Of course, in baseball news, of course, recently over the past couple weeks, it was Shohei Ohtani's September. Shohei September, as some called it, hit the 50-for-50, hit the 50-51-51, 52-52. I don't know what he's on now, but he hit the 52-52 club. Of course, there's a big deal about the 50-50 club. He was the first player ever. I don't know much of a club, is it? If he was the first player ever in 2024, and MLB's been around for a long, long time. But he was the first player, the founder of the 50-50 club. Of course, that means 50 home runs and 50 stolen bases, which is quite an achievement. It's quite a milestone to reach, especially as the first player. And Shohei Ohtani's quickly, over the past 5 years, has quickly entered himself into the greatest of all time in baseball conversation. Now, of course, where he lies in that conversation, some people think he's way up there, some people don't. And I think it's an interesting conversation to have. Of course, once we get this sports show going and we have multiple hosts here and we have, you know, more of a fleshed out plan, we will discuss baseball and especially Shohei Ohtani's rings in the GOAT list, the greatest of all time conversation. But he, what he's been doing over the past 5 or so years has been nothing short of extraordinary. And, you know, there's a lot of baseball, especially, you know, the old heads, as we call them in sports, the old heads, you know, football and baseball and basketball and hockey, how they think everything was so much better and the game was played right back in their day. The baseball old heads, of course, would, you know, they'll pick out, you know, people like, no, I don't think anyone's still around that long, but Babe Ruth gets thrown out, you know, Barry Bonds, you know, the people from the steroid era sometimes get thrown out, sometimes don't. That's another discussion we can have on the show. Is the steroid era of the 90s and early 2000s MLB, and where, you know, because there's a lot of controversy with that, especially the Baseball Hall of Fame, which some people believe has lost its grandeur due to its absence of some of the greatest statistics wise greatest players in baseball history, because they were around during the what is called the steroid era of MLB of the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s. That'll be an interesting conversation we can have on this show. A lot of interesting baseball, of course, with the history, you know, the Baseball Hall of Fame and the steroid era. I think it's an interesting conversation. Shohei Ohtani, interesting conversation. And for a more local conversation, you could always have the Blue Jays, and what are they going to do? They strung it exactly the same as it did last year. They kept Ross Atkins, they kept Shapiro in the management positions, and it simply did not work. Now, it's not all doom and gloom for the Blue Jays. They are at the bottom of the AL division there in the East with the Red Sox and the Yankees. The Yankees clinched the division last night. But the Blue Jays find themselves at the bottom, not as bad as the Chicago White Sox, but not incredibly far ahead either. And they kept the same management team after blowing it again in the wild card games last season. So they didn't actually make the real playoffs. They made the wild card and then lost the wild card series, which they have done a couple times in the past couple years. They never actually made it to the, you know, the real deal, the actual playoffs. They haven't made it past the wild card round for a while. And the team they're throwing on the field is just not up to snuff. They're not good enough. And thankfully, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. has had an absurdly strong second half of the season, to where he might be in, you know, award consideration and conversations. Because his first half of the season was, like all the Blue Jays, fairly mediocre, fairly middling. Not special at all, and definitely not an example of a contending or even just borderline playoff team. But the second half of the season has been incredibly strong. They find themselves, you know, first, second, third, top five, and a bunch of offensive categories in the AL, which has been the only really shining light for this Blue Jays team. Schneider, too, on the Blue Jays, has also garnered a quite apt reputation of being maybe the streakiest player to ever live. When he's hot, he's hot. And when he's not, oh, is he not? He'll go on runs on a week where he'll get 2 home runs a game, and he'll hit a triple and a double and a single in the same game, and all these, you know, really great offensively. And then there'll be entire months, too, where he goes, you know, 1 for 30 and keeps getting flyouts and can't get any runners into scoring position. And all these, you know, lacking offensive talents. So Schneider, when he's hot, he is hot. And when he is not, whoo, by Nelly, is he not. Of course, those have been some of the two main storylines regarding the Blue Jays. And I think one of the conversations we can have on this show, of course, is what do we do with the Blue Jays management? Because sports management is interesting. We have the Sports Management Club here at Laurier, and a lot of especially business students, you know, are interested in sports management. So it'll be interesting to have that conversation with the other hosts of the show. What we do with Ross Atkins and Shapiro, should they be gone? Do we just keep them and ride them out? Will they make, do we trust them to make good moves? I think, you know, the absence of hosts to compete with me or, you know, argue with me on this take. Atkins, Shapiro need to go. But I think that's also the general consensus among the fan base. So I'm pretty confident in saying that this Atkins Shapiro era has not been good for the Blue Jays on the field. Of course, off the field, of course, they're still a professional sports team raking in a lot of money. I don't know if you've been to a Blue Jays game recently and tried to, you know, buy a hot dog or get a drink and enjoy yourself for a bit, because stadium prices, especially at the Sky Dome at the Rogers Stadium, are not cheap. It's actually borderline highway robbery. There should be a class action lawsuit filed against Rogers Entertainment, because those prices are insane. But that's the same thing with a bunch of venues, and that's a discussion I'd like to have, is just the insane expensive prices of stadium food and memorabilia and merchandise and beverages. It's wild. But of course, again, for the Blue Jays off field, they're raking in a lot of money. Of course, the Rogers Stadium did a bunch of renovations over the past year, over the past couple of years. And they can hold, you know, a lot more fans. They have a lot more, you know, they're treating it more as, rather than a game, as they're treating it more as an experience. And there's a lot of things to do in between innings, a lot of things to do pre-game, a lot of things to do post-game, a lot of places you can hang out, you know, grab a beer, hang out on a porch. They have a bunch of different attractions for the kids, attractions for the adults. There's a lot of stuff going on at Blue Jays games nowadays, which, you know, reflects a growing trend in sports management, you know, industry and in sports stadiums and in sports, you know, infrastructure for these attractions is there's a growing trend in treating, you know, these sports games not as games but as sports experiences. And, you know, there being a lot of attractions before a game, during the game, even, and after the game. And during the game is, you know, if you're going to a sports game, you kind of want to watch, you know, what's being played on the field or on the rink or on the pitch or on, you know, whatever platform the sport is played on. But they have a bunch of attractions and experiences and, you know, things to do during the game to where you don't even really have to, like, if you're there watching a game in a professional sports stadium, you don't really have to watch the game. You can keep yourself occupied. You not even see a lick of the game just with the amount of things going on in the venue itself. And you're seeing that a lot more with these new stadiums and arenas being built, especially these, you know, expansion talks in the NHL and these, you know, revamped arenas or, you know, moving arenas even in basketball and baseball. Course, Oakland moving away to Vegas soon, you know, and all these newer venues, they're not just, you know, back in the day, just, oh, we need a hockey rink, we'll make a hockey rink. Oh, we need a basketball arena, okay, we'll make a basketball arena, and then they got built. Nowadays, it's like, okay, well, we need a hockey rink, oh, we need a basketball arena, but we will then also include hotels in the stadium. We will also include, you know, a couple bars and restaurants and diners available in the stadium grounds in the complex, and it'll be also be a concert hall over there. There'll be like half a mall's worth of merchandise and clothing and apparel over there, and there'll be there'll be an office complex over here, all within these stadium grounds. I think, you know, these venues are turning from, you know, single sport or double sport in case of, you know, basketball and hockey or maybe football and soccer. They're turning these, they're turning them from venues into complexes. And, you know, you could, like, live at these complexes now. And they're having so many different attractions. So you're not just coming, you know, to spend 3 hours at the baseball game. Now you're coming for a couple of nights. You're booking a hotel at the baseball stadium that's owned by the company that owns the baseball stadium. And you're eating dinner down the street in the same, you know, stadium complex. And you're going shopping at the mall that's on the stadium grounds. And your kids are going, you know, to the playground or to the park or the fair that they have, you know, on the stadium complex. So it'll be interesting to see, especially as all these old stadiums, you know, start to get torn down. I know, Utah for the new NHL hockey team is trying to build some more attractions around the arena. The Saddle Dome in Calgary for the Calgary Flames, the hockey team. The city of Calgary is trying to, you know, work with the developers to make a new arena there. And, you know, eventually all these old arenas, they'll start to go and there'll be developers to make new venues. And it'll just be interesting how far these developers go into incorporate entire, you know, small cities almost into these stadium experience to where you can go to a baseball game or a hockey game and not even see a lick of the sport and still be entertained and still be occupied the entire time you're there, turning it from a, oh, do you want to head to a game situation to, you know, going away for a weekend, going away for, you know, an entire week almost, just sitting in these downtown complexes that have a stadium for the professional sports team, but also have malls and accommodation and hospitality and dining and shopping and all these, things you need to entertain yourself. So it'll be interesting to see how venues and as more complexes, sports complexes, I don't know what the proper name is, one called sports complexes open up as these old venues get taken down. In other sports news, oh, I clicked off. Oh, I had something up and I clicked off it. That is tragic. Let me try to pull it back up here. Nope. Guess it is gone, of course. I think we covered most of the things I wanted to cover in this quick episode zero of A Bold and Gold, the voice of your Laurier Sports. Yeah, so if you're listening, happen to be listening in again, this is just a quick sports show. We run a sports show weekly on the station. It'll probably end up being Fridays, probably afternoon on Fridays. And there'll be more hosts. There'll be multiple voices you're hearing, and we'll have more sports clips. And we'll test out some features as we get going here for the sports show. But it's September. Some sports haven't started yet. And it's just me, the sports manager, Ian Bailey, in here just testing some things out, making sure I know how this works before I let other people in the sports volunteers know how it works. If you want to volunteer or help out with the sports team or any other team at Radio Laurier, you can visit RadioLaurier.com. There's a bunch of information there for volunteers. There's a lot of things you can do to get involved with the radio station. I'm the sports manager, so on the sports side, you can help host the sports show, what I'm doing right now. Yay! You can also help call or commentate. We provide some commentary for men's and women's hockey and basketball. So if you're inclined to one or both of those sports, or you have no idea how sports work, but you want to try commentating because you think it'd be a fun thing to do, then reach out to us, radiolaurier.com. sports@radiolaurier.ca is the email you can reach out at. There's also, you know, there's like music programming and filing and organization. And there's PR. We're trying to run some live events too. The radio station, a lot of stuff going on the radio station this year. It's looking to be a good year for the radio station too. So if you want to get involved there, you can. I think that's about it. I do want to try the soundboard. We have a soundboard on our little interface here. I do want to try that and see what sounds make. So please bear with me here. I don't know if that was loud or not, but that's an applause. That was exciting. Give it a sec here. Got birds chirping. Okay, you just touch it to stop it. All right. Oh, whoa. Okay. I don't know. Okay, that's like haunting. That's like, oh, you say something. I can't think of anything to... Who really died that day? And who came back? What's this one? Oh, that's good. I like that one. That's just a drum fill. Wait, we're gonna run that back. Classic. I like that one. Final one here. Oh. Wait. Okay, I don't like that one. That sounded like something just went wrong and I just exploded something and the whole world's about to come crashing. That's a very harsh beep. That was absurdly terrifying. I got chills. Dude, I think that's a good time to end off here as I recover from that, you know, nuclear holocaust warning that is an option on our soundboard. All right, thanks for tuning in. If you're just tuning in casually and I kind of popped up on the air unexpectedly, I appreciate you guys, you know, hanging out with me or being patient here as I try out some different things. Bold and Gold, this is your voice of Laurier Sports. As we get going throughout the sports season, we'll be incorporating a lot more discussion, a lot more hosts, and a lot more opinions and hot takes on the world of sports. But in the meantime, this is just a quick intro episode to acclimatize myself to how this works, test out some different features. Next time, if you're tuning in, we have a call-in feature that we can do on the our hardware here. It just requires a bit of a setup and stuff like that, but I will try that out sometime. So stay tuned for a bit of call-in feature because it's a sports show. And sports shows, you know, the old AM sports shows, you know, Sportsnet or TSN or the old local Toronto sports shows on the AM, you know, where people call in. I think that'd be fun, you know. Oh, where are you calling from? Oh, it's Jason from Sudbury, you know, and I have this opinion on a sports show. And then we discuss. I think it's fun. Calling in has been a staple of sports shows for a while. So I'd like to incorporate some of that. We'll test it out next time. But in the meantime, thanks for tuning in. Have a great rest of your Friday. Remember, the football team plays tomorrow. If there's any tickets left, make sure to grab those. It's a big homecoming game at 1 p.m. tomorrow. Kitchener Rangers play tonight. Their home opener down King Street in Kitchener. They're against the Erie Otters tonight at 7. So if you're itching for some hockey, and Kitchener Rangers, great team. They're posting up this year, so make sure to catch the Rangers when they're in town playing at home. If you can't get tickets to the football game tomorrow, check out the men's lacrosse team playing on the field on campus, the Ainslie Alumni Field. They play at 1:30 p.m. tomorrow. And stay tuned for men's hockey, women's hockey, men's basketball, and women's basketball, which will be starting at some point in October. And you can check out their games when we broadcast them on radio and OUA TV, too. A lot of fun stuff coming up for Wilfrid Laurier Sports. So stay tuned, and thank you for listening.